morning very quickly. We're going to open up to 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm just going to stay in the same vein that I've been in the last several weeks as we're looking at how to be relevant as a church in a culture that is many times against church. Unfortunately, a lot of it is our own fault. We have not represented Christ the way that we should. But I believe this. You know, the old song says this is Jesus is the answer, right? Does anybody believe that still today, or Jesus is the answer? That a life touched by Christ will change you in ways that not only change you, but can change the history of your family. You can, you know, decades or generations to come can be impacted because one person along the line said, you know what, I'm going to become a follower of Christ. And we've been talking a little bit about this and trying to look at what it is and how we should go about impacting our world in a way that is Christ-like. And I want to take just a few minutes this morning and look at a subject. I'm calling this, what time is it? And in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, let's pick up the reading real quickly here. As the king and all his men were leaving the city, they stopped at the last house. And all the officials stood next to him as the royal bodyguards passed by in front of him. The 600 soldiers who had followed him from Gath also passed by. And the king said to Ittai, their leader, why are you going with us? Go back and stay with the new king. You are a foreigner, a refugee away from your own country. You have lived here only a short time, so why should I make you wander around with me? I don't even know where I'm going. Go back and take all your people with you, and may the Lord be kind and faithful to you. But look at this, the answer. But Ittai answered, your majesty, I swear to you in the Lord's name that I will always go with you wherever you go, even if it means death. Fine, David answered, march on. So Ittai went on with all his men and all of their dependents. I think there's something in here that if we can just take a few minutes to pull apart, can be really important for us in our personal life and in our church life. Time is something that is significant. Understanding the time that you're in, understanding what's going on in that moment, and the decisions that you make at a certain season have huge impact on your life. How many of the fathers have remembered the time when your wife went to you and said, honey, I think it's time, and you knew you were headed to the hospital, and you were going to suddenly become a father. Time at certain points where somebody has passed away, or and you remember that moment very, you know, it's always in your consciousness, or time spent with certain people who've impacted your life. Time's really, really important. But unfortunately, I think that many times we're in places that we really don't recognize just how important a season is. That's why Isaiah would say the scripture, he says, God is doing a new thing. But then he adds this little caveat, he says, but do you not perceive it? Don't you recognize what's going on? You can be in the middle of something that is so significant to your life and not even know that it is because you're not willing to discern the moment. Sometimes maybe it's a hardship, it's a heartache, it's a struggle, and all you want to do is, you know, you just want to kind of pretend it's not happening, or not really take the moment to realize maybe God's working on character, maybe God's working on something with you. This passage of scripture to me speaks of something, because we see David in a situation where his own son has turned against him. You guys remember Absalom? And Absalom has taken over the kingdom, and he has made his own father flee. And we see David taken off from Jerusalem. And as he's leaving, he comes to this man who has been a leader of soldiers for him, who's not even a Jew. He's actually a Gittite. And he has been fighting for David because David has taken him in and has received him. And so at that one moment, David basically gives him his permission to go serve the new king. And he looks at David and says, no, I'm not leaving. I have made a choice and I am sticking with you. Because in that moment right there, in that season of time, he was making a stand and making a decision. I want to give you three little things that I want to talk to you about that is so important for you and me and we as a church to be walking in a new level of spiritual discernment. I believe these three things, and if you're writing them down, I want you to just follow with me. I think we need to have a new level of spiritual discernment in things to join, things to fight, and things to leave alone. We need to know the things to join. We need to know the things to fight. But we also need to start hearing from God about the things to leave alone. Because when we attach the concept of time to things to join and things to fight and things to leave alone, it becomes very important because there are decisions that you are going to have to make in each and every one of them that if you make the wrong one, it can go south. If you make the right one, you can go into a new season of life that's blessed. But if you join things that you're supposed to fight, or you fight things that you're supposed to join, or you join something that you're supposed to leave alone and use any one of those combinations, the ending results can be really difficult to overcome. That word discernment is something that I'm becoming more and more aware with, because discernment and wisdom, and why would the Bible say, if any one of you needs wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. If you don't understand this yet, may this be the only thing that you take away today. That's fine. You need wisdom. We need wisdom in our life. We need discernment in our life. Because there's these decisions that are before you that if you're not getting wisdom from God and you're making these decisions on your own without His influence, you'll never know the things you're supposed to join. You'll never know what you're supposed to fight. You won't know what you're supposed to leave alone. Wisdom is the ability to discern with the information you have what decision you need to make. Let's look at the idea of the things that we are to join. When you join something, you know what? You're saying, I want to be counted. It's to say, I want to be identified with this. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this week, Alan. I was thinking about the rescue mission. And for us as a church to say, we want to join with the rescue mission. It's a statement. It's a statement that gives you a purpose and it gives you a focus. And many times for us, we want to stand on the outside of things and we're like, oh yeah, that's really good. But you know what? I'm not willing to join. I'm not willing to participate. I'll sit back and say, hey, they're doing good stuff. But you know what? I believe that as Christians that we have to have a responsibility that there's some things that we need to join. There's some things that we need to put ourselves involved in and say, I want to be identified with that. I want my name to be identified with what this is doing and where this is going. You know, I hear this with various colleagues of mine. How many people will come into church and they'll say, oh, I just want to attend. I don't really want to join. You know what they're basically saying is, I want to eat at the table, but I want to eat for free. I don't really want to have to participate beyond what you're going to give me. And you know what? When you join something, you bring something to make it better. How many of us believe this morning that God has invested in you, not just so that you can consume it, but so that you can give it? The Bible talks about rivers of living water coming forth from us. My understanding of that is if you don't let the river come out and go forward, you know what? There's nothing new that ever grows underneath. So if God has gifted you and and blessed you, and all you do is just sit around criticizing people who have that ability that you do, Or maybe you criticize what they're trying to achieve and you do nothing with the gifts that God has given you, but look at other people and say, oh, they're not doing it well enough. You know what starts to come out of you? Bitter water. I listen to people sometimes that they're always exhausted. And I look at them, I say, how in the world are you exhausted? You go to bed every night not having done anything. You're not doing anything with who you are and what God has blessed you. Listen, there's some things that we need to be able to look and say, hey, I want to be a part of that because I want to be identified with the good work that's happening there. And there's something that happens, and I'm grateful for the example of the rescue mission today, because when you join something that brings value to your life and you know that you're doing the work of the Lord, God can change you and He can bless you. It's one of the reasons I say to you guys, I believe that every single Christian at one time in their life needs to go to a third world country. You need to experience what the third world looks like up close. Up front, you need to know what it's like to sit down in the dirt with a child who smells like feces and have him sit on your lap and you look him in the face and you see Jesus all over that face and you know what? You realize something. There's time, I got to wash this country off of me and the only way I can do it is to get into the dirt where the real poor live. But you know what? You can hear about that. And you can hear about a mission team that's being put together and say, oh, I would really like to do that someday. And you never join and you never experience. And so what you have that a shallower relationship with God. And I know we can all use different excuses why we can't go and do things like this. I remember we took you guys remember Moses Brown? Some of you guys remember Brother Moses? And there was like people say, you can't take that man on the missions field. he's ill. And that brother, he was like, no, I'm going. And I remember him having one of the greatest trips and to see the joy on his face. And you know what? It is something he'll never forget. Sometimes you got to join. But then there's another side of this. And it's not just okay to be a joiner. Because there's sometimes when you get into what you've joined, you're going to have to learn to fight. You're going to have to learn to fight and be. That's why the Bible would say we have to learn to be strong in the Lord. It wasn't just about being strong in the Lord so that I can, hey, you know, I feel. No, sometimes that being strong in the Lord is because God is about ready to release you to fight. William Wilberforce. How many of you guys have ever heard of him? William Wilberforce was a one-man wrecking crew to slavery in England. He grew up and saw slavery, and something inside of him said, this is wrong. And people would say to him, they'd say, William, you can't tackle this. There's no way you can win. And you know what his response to them would be? Then I'll die trying. And William Wilberforce, decades before the slavery issue was ever addressed in America, fought to get laws put in place so that in England, slavery before the start of the 1800s was already done with. But you know what it cost him? It cost him people in his life. It cost him sleep. It cost him a lot of invites to certain places because there were a lot of people that were not happy that he was fighting for something that was just and right. The slave owners and the industries that were involved in slavery, there were people that were often said they feared for his life because he made so many enemies. And sometimes when you're fighting for something that's righteous, you're going to make enemies. Sometimes when you're fighting for something that's right, and this is why it's important for us to discern, because there are people in the name of Christ that are fighting for things that I don't really think that God's involved in. And that's where the balance and the fine line is. What are we fighting for? Is God really directing us to it? It's one of the reasons I love the human trafficking cause. It is something that we need to fight against. We need to be raising our voices. We need to be not just raising our voices, but finding people that can get into these countries and make differences. And if it's our money, if it's our time, whatever it is, where we're involved in the fight. Because, again, we have to go and say, what time are we living in? We are living in a really corrupt and evil time. And so what's our decision here? Do we just kind of hide behind our church doors and talk about it? Or do we ask God, hey, where can I join? And am I willing that when I get there, you may say, I want you to be more than just a name on a roster. I may want you to be a warrior in the fight. I was thinking to what you were saying there about going out in the middle of the night in January, counting the homeless in our community. You know what? That's a fight. It's a fight to get yourself out of bed. It's a fight when you're sitting out there at 3 in the morning and you're freezing. But if you know what you're doing, it's because it's something that God has said, this is where I want you to put your hand. You know what? God supernaturally gives you strength. I feel like prayer in our life and prayer in the church has never been more important, because we have to be discerning what is God's direction versus just what is my own personal mind taking me to. Where God is saying, no, you need to be focused and you know, I'm going to point you in a certain direction. And if you'll stay in that direction that I'm taking you, I will help you and I will empower you and I will give you what you need to do. There are some things that we need to join, and there are some times we need to fight. But then there's the third part. I'm going to wrap up real quick. Sometimes there's things that you need to just leave alone. And this is where it can get really confusing to me sometimes. I'm learning more and more at this point in my life as I'm approaching 50 that I don't need to be God's angry man. God doesn't need one more angry man. I have found more peace in my heart lately because I have resisted the urge to get into a brawl on Facebook with somebody who I know that at the end of the brawl is still going to believe what they believe, and that I'm still going to believe what I'm going to believe. And you know what? We're not going to go anyplace with this. I'm learning more and more to just that there are some things that instead of me jumping into, God, I hear him more and more in my heart, just him say, just leave it alone. Just let it go. Stay focused on the things that build and things that are uplifting. The things that I'm talking to you about that actually can bring change. Sometimes we get involved in things, and if we are not listening to God, God will warn you before you enter into a relationship you're not supposed to get into. God can warn you before you go and spend money that you don't need to spend. You know, my wife and me had an opportunity last night to go and attend a play. And it was actually a play that my wife really wanted to go to. And, you know, we were going back and forth, should we not? You know, some of our good friends were going out, and it would have been a great time to go spend with them and go see the play. But in both of our hearts, we felt like the Lord just put this little, no, don't do that. Because you're taking the family on vacation at the end of the month, and you need to start saving your money so that you can have a better vacation. So you can go right now in the moment and have a good time with your friends and go see this play, or you can have an even better time with your family at the end of the month. Sometimes it's just little things like that where God will speak to you. And you know what? I remember we were driving home last night, and Jess looks over at me and she says, okay, that was good adulting. God will speak to you about any situation in your life that you're willing to listen to him on. And there are things that sometimes God is just saying, leave it alone. You don't need to go into that place. Sometimes God will say stuff like this to me. There'll be a conversation that's going on, and people are speaking about something or somebody, and God will say, don't go get in there. Don't go get in the middle of that. That's a bunch of bitterness and wickedness that's happening right there, and I don't want you to anywhere close to that. Because if you get in the middle of it, you're going to get tainted by the same bitter hearts. And you don't want that. Let me end right here. Toward the end of World War II, there was a something that almost changed the whole tide of World War II. And it was so bad that they said, I've read historical accounts of it, that the men began to have mental breakdowns. They were hiding in terror. And what it was the Japanese, at the end, when they knew that they were about ready to lose, started sending up pilots, and they called them kamikaze pilots. They would take a plane, and they would duct tape it together, and they would put just enough fuel in the plane that pilot had was to go and to take his plane and to crash it into one of the ships. And it was so intense, and it became such a harrowing moment at that end of the war that historians look back on it and say, if it wasn't for the commitment of our own soldiers, it could have turned the tide of the war. But you know what? It took being sold out to something. The men on the Japanese side were sold out to, they were the first examples of people who were just using their own bodies as weapons. You know, we see that all the time now. And it's become kind of a commonplace around the world that people use their bodies as weapons. But this was one of the first times that we had seen this. And they were committed. But you know what? We had people on our side who said, you know what? This is only going to be for a moment. We're about ready to defeat them. Don't give up. Keep going. I leave you with this one last question for all of us to answer, because if we're going to really be able to be difference makers that I believe God has called us to be, we have to look at our lives and start to ask these questions. And one of them is that I believe is so important right now. And again, I point back to the title of this message. What time is it? And it says this question: what are you all in for? What are you all in for? It's one thing to say I'm all in for Christ, but then if something doesn't fit just the way you want it to fit, you realize maybe I'm not really all in for Christ. I'm all in for Christ if it's beneficial to me. I'm all in for Christ if it doesn't cost me anything. I'm all in for Christ if he doesn't ask me to fight for something. You know, we can say, I'm all in for my marriage until he does something that I don't like, or she does something that makes me upset, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not all in for it. I'm all in for my children until they do something that really disappoints me, and then, you know, they're on their own. I believe this is a time when God is really asking people, what are you all in for? What are you willing to join? What are you willing to fight for? True spiritual maturity in this day and age is something that I fear is drastically missing. And by spiritual maturity, I'm not talking about you can quote a bunch of scriptures and you pray 5 hours a day and you know what, you go to church 6 nights a week. I'm talking about people who stand for something, people who stick, people who really are sold out to Christ, Christians who are sold out to each other. that we carry each other's hurts. We carry each other. We rejoice with each other. We forgive each other. We're gentle with each other. You got to recognize the time. Let me stop right here. I've said this to you over the last couple weeks. If you don't have a prayer life, if you're not bringing decisions before the Lord, if you're not coming to Him and saying, "Help me see things for the way they are," sometimes you see something up here and you're just basing it all on your own emotions. And what you really need to do is say, "Lord, let me see it the way you're seeing it. Because if I can see it the way you're seeing it, I can navigate through the situation without leaving a bunch of scars. Maybe I can hold my tongue and prevent myself from being just one more person who sows bad seed. Maybe if I can see a person for who they are instead of what I think they are, I will have more compassion and more love for them." Let's pray. God, I'm really asking you, Father, just on a personal level, on a church level, that God, we want to be a church that you can trust. We want to be a church, Lord, that you can speak to because we actually listen. We can be a group of people, Lord, that when you call us to a cause, we stand up, Lord, and we're willing to put our hands to the wheel, Lord. Father, and I also ask you, God, that for each and every one of us in this room today, Lord, that you would sharpen our discernment, our spiritual discernment, Lord, for the things that we need to be involved in, the things that we need to leave alone, the things that we need to fight for, God. God, we need you. But I'm also realizing something too, Lord. It's not a one-sided relationship. You need us also. Because where your hands and where your feet, where your voices, we're the ones that you've called to do the work, God. And God, we need you to be able to do it successfully, Lord. But we also need you, God, to lead us to the places that you're directing us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Can you stand to your feet? Let's end the service with this chorus. I'm no longer singing, and I'm no longer to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Of course, I am a child. I'm no longer. Bridge. I'm a child. Yeah.
those words, I am a child of God. That's a great, feels great to say it, doesn't it? Here's the kicker. It comes with responsibility. It's not free. Amen? There's a responsibility to being a child of God. And I pray that this week, that each and every one of us would pray more, Lord, where's my place? What do you need me to do? And then God, open the door, and then it's up to you. God will do everything you ask for, but he won't walk your feet for you, and he won't lift your hands for you. And I want amen. So, I am a child of God. How many of us this week will say, I'm going to take the responsibility seriously? Whatever you have for me, Lord. Listen, God bless you. I pray the blessings of the Lord upon your lives this week. I pray that work of your hands would be profitable. I pray that peace would be in your home. I just pray that God would be all over your life this week in a special way. Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's have a great Sunday today. Get out and enjoy time with your family.
out my window.